When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Why is Mr. Feeney a Card? The pill poppin' single drop-in guide to the very special episodes of yesterday. I'm Jay McCain. With me is Aaron Hubbard. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing wonderful tonight, Jay. How are you?
I could be a little more beaked up on caffeine, to be honest.
Yeah, I meant to go by Walgreens and get a couple of. I'm trying to think of what I took, because this uncovered a core memory. I used to be I have a confession. I was a caffeine pill addict from the time I was 17 to about the time I was 20. And I was gonna stop by Walgreens and pick up my favorite. I can't remember what the name brand caffeine pill was. I want to say it's Vyvanse, but that's like ADD medicine. Vivarin. Maybe it's Vivarin. That was my pill of choice.
My confession is I've never taken a caffeine pill.
Really?
I drink my caffeine.
Well, I did. So, like, I started noticing that, like, because, like, I couldn't stand Diet Cokes, so I couldn't drink those, and I've always hated coffee. So I found a loophole where I could just take, like, every couple hours a caffeine pill, and I was, like, you know, buzzed all day long. And
yeah.
I never watched this show. I don't even think I've seen an entire episode of this show, Saved by the Bell.
Really?
But I got, like, of course, I did also grow up in a weird religious cult. Like, all of my friends
right.
that found out I was taking caffeine pills acted like that was, oh my God, is this particular girl that was right in the eight? Yeah, I think someone thought I was Jesse's song in it. I was addicted to caffeine pills. I was like, it says right here in the box, it's approximately equal to one cup of coffee. How can this be bad for you?
Yeah, I've always loved coffee, and I love doing the do. That was all the caffeine I could handle as a young man.
Yeah, well, the do is pretty high octane rocket fuel, and that's without getting into the red alert. But
right.
What did you were you a big Saved by the Bell fan? This is kind of more in your wheelhouse.
Yes, this was definitely a after school show for me and my sister. It's something we could agree on. Watched a lot of Saved by the Bell, and including the college years.
Oh, right. There's an expanded universe.
Yeah.
Series of this.
That's not as good.
What did you make of this episode? Do you remember seeing it for the first time? And what did you think of it then? And what did you think of it on reflection?
Man, do I remember? I think I remember watching this episode. I didn't remember all the details. So watching it, there was a lot of fresh stuff for me in this rewatch. Yeah, it's a fun episode. I think it put a lot of the fear of God in me, and probably what's steered me away from caffeine pills as a young man.
There you go.
It was effective.
Yeah. Kids scared you straight. Stay away from that. The devil's pill. I had an interesting time trying to find this to watch, because everyone says that this is Jesse's song we're talking about, Saved by the Bell. Everyone says, the official wiki and all that stuff, IMDb says this is season 2, episode 9. But, like, on Amazon, it was, like, season 3, episode 19. It's
crazy
deal.
Well, isn't Saved by the Bell one of those shows that had a different title for the first season?
Did it?
It was like, welcome back to school, Mr. Belvedere, or something.
So I've got a lot of, I found the Ringer, they have an oral history of the making of this episode. And I got a couple of, like, choice quotes from that article that I'm going to sprinkle through our review. But yeah, I guess that might have, I didn't have that down in my notes, but I'll also put this in the show notes when this podcast gets released. But yeah, they went into the history. It's like, yes, this was, I think it was conceived as another show, but it was retooled after the pilot episode. So like, I don't know if it was ever officially, released as anything other than Saved by the Bell. But, this was a network executive's brainchild of like, how can we capture older, like teen children on Saturday mornings? Like they're just not the My Little Pony and the Care Bears and I don't know what the shit they were showing at the day. That's just not pulling in the 13 to 16 year old crowd. We need something, and Saved by the Bell was born.
Yeah, all those teenagers are leaving the house and doing things. We can't have that.
I will say the thing that jumped out is, like, this is an old show. This is, like, what, early 90s? Late 80s? Is the first season in the late 80s? I don't know. What is the original air date? I guess November 3rd, 1990, and this is the second season. So, 'cause I thought this is, like, surprisingly a diverse cast. Like, they pretty much have the United Nations split. If you had a some sort of Asian student, you'd have pretty much the four corners of the globe covered.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's kind of cool.
Probably some typecasting going on, possibly. But the main character is the bleach blonde white guy.
That's true. Is he the main character? I guess he's the one that breaks the fourth wall. I had some questions about the interplay of these characters and whatnot.
Oh boy.
But yeah, the only reason I knew about this is because what's her name? Elizabeth, the one that plays Jesse. She was in that Showgirls, which I never saw contemporaneously in the day. When I got together with Cecily, she made me watch it, 'cause it's one of her favorite like guilty pleasure movies. But, I was like, oh wow. The teeny bopper gal is breaking out NC-17. That's interesting. But, do you want to get right? Do we have any other pre-show banter? Or should we get right into the episode?
No, let's get into it.
Okay. So, first of all, I want to talk about the theme song. Kind of a toe tapper. Not a bad theme song.
It gets moving. I like that there's a guitar solo. I feel like a lot of TV show intro theme songs these days don't give the lead guitar a chance to really riff.
Did anyone in this show go on to better Mario Lopez had a singing pop star career. Tiffany Amber Thiessen, she was on, was it Baywatch or was it Beverly Hills 90210 or both of them? I know she had no she's idea. Been in stuff, and then Elizabeth Berkley was in Showgirls, but like nobody else. Dustin Diamond. I got an eye-opening introduction to his character, lack thereof, and he's dead now. I kept on thinking like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. Did he died of natural causes, right? Or was it like addiction or?
Well, he's not that old, so probably not natural causes.
Well, I mean, aneurysm could take any one of us at any time, Jay.
Sure. Thanks. I didn't have enough anxiety today.
Yeah, a ticking time bomb could be ready to explode in your brain right now. But and then like the Zach guy, Markary Paul Gosler, did he make anything of himself? The star?
How much money do you make off of, if you're on a show like this and it runs for several seasons and gets picked up in syndication? Do you you just have mailbox money? Like, why work again?
The only thing I guess I would say is that I wonder in the 90s whether children actors got fairly compensated.
That's a fair point.
You know, did they have an adult in the, because he was 16 for 15 when the show started, I guess. So, like, I guess if his parents did some good negotiating for him, then he probably did all right. You would think that someone got, like, what, 6 seasons in syndication? Or was it, I think, 4 seasons plus college, maybe?
Something like that.
So, anyway,
I
got the theme song.
Episodes.
Got the theme song. Zach rolls in, addresses the camera.
Yes.
And they're in this, like, teenage hangout that only exists in, like, these type of shows.
Right.
You know, like the place that like essentially 15 to 18 year olds exclusively keep open, and they serve milkshakes and hot dogs and have video games. And this is so aggressively 80s. It's like it was out of date the moment they started filming it.
Right.
And I guess that's the thing about the early 90s are essentially an extension of the 80s. But Zach breaks the fourth wall, tells us that this week is geometry midterms, and he's not worried because all of his friends are smart nerds. Presumably, I guess he can cheat. Is that his deal? Is he just an idiot?
Well, he's clever. He's street smart, but it's not that his friends are smart nerds. It's that he always sits next to smart nerds.
Right. So he is definitely they're doing the cheating thing.
Yeah.
And they're noticeably, this is going to set up the central tragedy of this 22-minute play. Jesse, played by Elizabeth Berkley, hates coffee, but she's trying to force herself to drink it because she's spending all of her nights studying for this geometry and she just still can't get it. And I guess this is a huge catastrophe for her because she's got her heart set on Stanford and she needs to get perfect grades to have a chance at that ride.
Yeah, she's a brainiac. Apparently she needs a 4.0 to get into Stanford. I don't know how accurate that is, but I don't know. Stanford's a good school, right?
Stanford's a pretty good school, yeah.
So maybe it makes sense.
So Slater slides in. This is Mario Lopez character, and his whole deal is he's sexist as hell. Apparently, and he opines that guys are great at math and it's a shame she wasn't born a man, and she fired back, you know, the obvious retort, shame you weren't either.
Mm-hmm.
The classic aliens response.
Yeah, it's Vasquez.
And the other girls, Kelly, that's Tiffany Amber Thiessen, and Lisa, which is Lark Voorhees, they get so excited that they spontaneously bust into the Pointer Sisters' I'm so excited.
You know what? I'm embarrassed to admit this. For mm-hmm. some reason, I thought that was a song that was made up for the episode.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a song that had its day. Its day was significantly before the series, and I wonder if like it was selected because it was going through the catalog and like, what's the cheapest thing we can license? What is the cheapest? I'm so excited by the Pointer Sisters.
Okay, that makes sense. Were the other songs famous songs that they were covering, or were they made up for the episode?
I know for a fact that the music video song that they do, you know, in the middle of this episode, that was created for TV. Someone made that shit up.
Okay,
but the other stuff is licensed. So Zach, is he a rich kid too? He must be. His dad's a record.
Yeah.
His dad knows a record producer, so he can hook him up. And he wants to be the manager, and they're like, nah, we just like singing in the girls' locker room. And you know, that's the girls are just not too impressed with that plan. They're like, eh, whatever. Why don't you go bring yourself to the girls' locker room and flush yourself down the toilet? There's the banter on the show. Did you enjoy it as a child, or?
I think that's where I developed my rapier-like wit.
Yeah.
From watching Saved by the Bell.
I was the whole time I'm watching this because like there's some really cringy kind of groany one-liners, and I'm like, am I just so ate up with like prestige television where I'm just used to people dropping the F-bombs and also being familiar children in real life in 2024? You kind of lame 1950s lingo that they're forcing on these children to not have them be naughty is a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, why don't you go suck a lemon?
So we're then in the geometry class, and I appreciated this scene because the teacher makes a sick American Gladiators reference, which is a show that I hold close to my heart. Loved that show back in the day. And the whole crew, essentially, everyone gets B pluses except for Jesse. She gets a C. And she has a complete meltdown about it.
This is an era where apparently this didn't happen to me in high school. I don't know if this was your high school experience, where the teacher would read aloud your name and then your grade right in front of the whole class.
I So I don't think I ever had that experience. I definitely had the experience where the teacher would like an assassin walk down the row of desks and put everybody's like a waiter giving you the bill. He'd slap the paper down face down, and then you kind of like peek and be like, "What kind of how much red is it?" And but no, like announcing that seems wild.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. So yeah, and this confused me. I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I was confused on my first watch through. This is just like a pop quiz for the math test. The math test is still coming up.
Yeah. This is just the practice quiz. Yeah. Zach, who again is his whole thing is a sexist. I don't know that he's a brainy guy, but maybe he is. Maybe he's the second most brains in the group. He offers to help. I keep on to call her Elizabeth. Jesse. She keeps on wanting to help Jesse study. He wants to help Jesse study, and surprisingly accepts. I thought she'd be like, "No, you're a fucking slime ball. I'm not gonna have you over to my house." But she's apparently no. Do they have like a will they, won't they kind of relationship with Slater and Jesse?
Yeah.
Is Zach paired up with anybody?
I don't.
Does he pair up with
Kelly Kapowski? Right.
Is it Kelly, the Amber?
The kind of shorter girl?
Yeah, the one that they're with the feathered hair.
Yeah, I think that they are. Man, it's my Saved by the Bell lore is not up to snuff.
So Zach asks Screech to record the ladies singing in the locker room, which Jesus Christ, I was like, I can't wait to see this. Portrayed. I can't wait for them to do like, you know, Porky's on Saturday right. morning, you know, cartoon television, but it's pretty chaste. Screech comes in looking like, you know, a lunch lady kind of bucket wielding me. I mean, it's hilarious that the women don't immediately notice that it's Screech because it's just Screech in a wig and a do rag and a bad dress.
And a bad accent.
And he's acting very bizarre. He's wanting the ladies to sing into like his mop because it's a hidden microphone. Yeah, he even says like, "I'm just going to mop around you. Just pretend this is a microphone," because it totally is. And he's able to get these girls to sing. I'm so excited. And I'm.
Yeah.
Again, in the kayfabe of the show. These record producers are going to be so impressed by this mop bucket recording in a locker room of these girls singing this song from like yesteryear that they're going to want to go to the teen bop or whatever the hell it's called and take a right. meeting with these gals. I just think it's a kid show logic. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of suspending of disbelief that has to happen in order for this to actually work. But yeah, it's a kid show.
Oh my God, Chad is dropping some knowledge here. Tulip Blossom said Zach and Kelly eventually get married in the series finale. Hello.
There you go.
So Zach is studying with Jesse. And is it Zach or is it? Yeah, it is Zach.
No, or is it, it's is AC it Slater? Slater and Jesse are studying.
Oh, geez. Okay, so Slater studies Jesse and she offers to marry him if he takes the test for her. Mm-hmm. And. That's a wild offer. Then Zach comes flying in the bedroom window.
Right.
Where is Jesse's parents?
Downstairs.
She's got a strange boy in her room with their door shut. You got your bedroom window within springing distance to the local teenage boys. My parents would never. A lot more permissive stuff going on in Saved by the Household. Saved by the Household, yeah.
someone needs to
save these households. And he announces, of course, that the record execs love the tape, which is a surprise to Jesse because they didn't know that they were being intruded upon.
Right.
And she does say, you know, briefly act upset that they violated her privacy, and Slater has the decency to act offended on her behalf, but I guess Jesse so the upshot here is that Slater is tired and says he wants to stop studying and quit because they've been studying for 4 hours, and she's like, "Oh, just take these pills," and he thinks that they are habit forming, and but she says they're harmless, they're OTC pills. And then he wishes her good night, and she takes off, and she takes the pills anyway. Mm-hmm. Question.
Mm.
Or not a question, a statement. Did you know that this show, as written, was supposed to be her taking methamphetamines speed?
Okay, no, I didn't know that. That's a much larger swing.
Right? When I started reading this oral history, I'm like, did they really go? Because that seems crazy for Hollywood even to like, oh, the caffeine pills. But like, yeah, it was supposed to be like she's supposed to be taking crank. And they're like, I don't know that we can show actual drug use on Saturday morning. So they changed the caffeine pills, I guess, at the very late moment. But they kept everything else about the thing the same. So, right. Yeah. Yeah. It's getting a lot of misinformation about caffeine.
It does really paint. There had to have been some advertisers who were probably selling, like, coffee around this time. That we're not so happy, not so thrilled with this moralizing against caffeine.
We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break. And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? I thought it was interesting. I noticed an article in The Ringer that, like, I guess the kids were all very excited about this episode because it gave them a chance to flex their acting chops.
Right.
Elizabeth, it's Berkeley, right? Elizabeth Berkeley says, we're going to explore something different on Saturday morning show. We're going to go deep. As a young actress, I was finally going to have something juicy. All the others felt the same way. Like, oh, wow, we're going to really act this week. It's not just who's going to ask who to the dance. This is such a hilarious and precious comment in retrospect that she's having. I guess maybe when it was originally speed, but like, well, you know, settle down. It's just caffeine, you know?
Yeah, you could tell there is some capital A acting that is going on, especially from Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh, yeah. She gets to really show some range here. I also noticed that the posters on her room, The Cure.
Oh, yeah, she has some great ones.
Yeah, she's got The Cure, Dark Side of the Moon, kind of slightly aging music. She's kind of throwback retro music taste. I guess she's the brainy one, right? She's the cerebral, the one that's trying to go to Stanford to kind of like checks out. She's got a Radiation Kills poster, so she's kind of like a liberal peacenik kind of thing. I don't know. A literal peace sign, I think, is in her bedroom as well.
Yeah, she's got one that it's like the Statue of Liberty in ruins, and it's like, do nothing about nuclear proliferation and it will solve itself.
Mm.
And it's a Greenpeace poster, which is pretty radical. I want that.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet. I like is it the Einstein quote that says, I know not what weapons man will fight World War III with, but I know World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. I always thought that was a metal quote.
It's a pretty good one.
So I guess their geometry teacher's name is Mr. Belding, and she freaks out on him that she's got the C and she's not getting the material.
No, that's a principal, I think.
Oh, the principal is Mr. Belding. Right, right, right. She freaks out at Mr. Belding, and he's like, don't worry about it. I'll write you a personal recommendation. I got a C in geometry, too. But she's not consoled because, of course, she wants to go to Stanford. He didn't. And he's just hanging out with the principal's just hanging out at the I just now processing that he's just hanging out with the kids at the kid hangout.
Hey, that's good outreach. He's reaching out to the students. He's being part of their social life outside
of
school.
But could you just chill at the local, you know, dive malt shop if the principal of the high school was just there?
That's a good point.
Relax, you know? I don't know. So he's like, there's lots of good colleges. I'll help you find one. So then she imagines, he's like, cause I can even find a school for Zach. And she imagines Zach school. How would you describe this scene?
Well, it's Zach relaxing in beach chairs with a bunch of bikini clad girls around him, serving him Mai Tais as he relaxes in a classroom.
Yeah, I think it's the style to surf you and this idea that, like, there's, you know, it's like they even teach underwater basket weaving here. It's just all surf and drinking. And there's also this violent pink hazy border around everything to let you know it's a fantasy, I guess.
Right.
I would have gone with the Wayne's World style, bloop, 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 and then dispensed with the constant border. But you know what? I didn't executive produce a very popular teeny bopper Saturday morning show in the 90s. So what do I know? And it turns out the geometry teacher works there, but he's only there for a tan because nobody wants to learn. And he's happy to oblige. And this is her nerdy nightmare that, oh, my God, I've gone to a place where no one takes education seriously. And this is definitely not Stanford.
No, it's not Stanford. It is Surf U. And then the principal shows up and says, cowabunga.
Oh, right. Yeah. And he's got this Mr. Belden's got hair. So that's cool. And that jars her back to the present. And he says, you know what? Just do your best and you'll get into a great school. And she vows to ace the test because she's not buying this Surf U propaganda. So Zach comes in and says that the record company likes your guys' tapes, and there is a contest that's coming up that involves a few local bands are going to be competing for a record slot, I suppose. The names of these bands: Buns on a Run, Spiked Earlobes, and the Zit Hit Machine.
Mm-hmm. That one sounds like a breakout band. Says Dustin Diamond's character.
None of those are like plausible band names. Come on, man.
No.
You gotta come up with something a little, it sounds a little badass, right? But Zach's saying, like, hey, you need to make a music video to take it to the next level. And then he dubs them Hot Sunday. I don't know why.
Hot Sunday, also not a great band name. Conjures images of ice cream for me, like a hot fudge sundae.
Hot fudge, yeah. It's, I was about to say, it's like they did a fudgectomy on a hot fudge sundae and they're just left with a hot sundae. That's just vanilla ice cream melting in the sun.
Yeah, it's so good.
That's not hip. That's not sexy. But Jessie is really worried about her busy schedule, not allowing her to study. But the girls put the peer pressure on and say, we can't do it without you. So she agrees and then ominously pops another few pills.
Imagine if they had gone with the full meth script. Would she just be like mainlining? Like,
dude, it would have been
hitting the pipe in the middle of the school hallway.
Yeah, her taking speed in the girls' bathroom would have been pretty fucking funny, I gotta say. So it's time for the video shoot, which is more of like a 90s gymnastics jazzercise kind of routine.
Yeah, gymnastics were in, baby.
And I love that the editor got full use of the free filters and video effects demo that they had in their whatever special effects box, because they brought it all out, man. They put out all the stops to make this 90s as fuck. This is probably also sexy as shit. Like, when you're a 15-year-old kid, you're like, hell yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Hell yeah. Kick those.
In the day when, like, the Sears catalog was, like, your access to underwear ads.
JCPenney's catalog for me. I was a little bit more upscale, you know.
Okay.
I wanted to see the Kathy Ireland collection.
Yeah, I also wanted to see the Craftsman tools and the washer dryer combo, I guess.
and then they do this video, and it's 90s as fuck. I love the bold colors onesies. They even have a costume change. Like midway through the thing, they take a break, and they have entirely different sets of bold colored leotards and onesies, and they also have just enormous hair. I can't believe I always forget this about the 90s. When I look at my like freshman yearbook and stuff, the enormous hair that girls had, like you see the the one that's not Kelly, it's Lisa. Lisa's hair, like she's doing that thing in the front where she got that big scrunch ball.
Right.
You would not believe how big a girl can tease their bangs. with enough hairspray. And that was a good pre-CFC band hairspray, too. It was impressive, right? The structures they're able to build.
Yeah, thanks, Australia.
Right?
Ruin that slather, for us.
Can't you just slather on some more sunscreen? Come on. So yeah, that's the video, and
you might think that making a whole like commercial quality music video would be enough to get the name of the band out there, but I guess not.
But yeah, like every Hollywood actor wants to dance and sing, and they got to do it in this one. So
that's a good point. That's probably also why they were so excited to shoot this episode.
They were so excited. They had to license the Pointer Sisters song. And like I said, this was the original. This wasn't the Pointer Sisters. This was some kind of like just generic workout. It kind of sucks, honestly. It's not good.
Yeah,
it's not good.
It's not great.
But again, if you're a teenage boy, or a teenage gal of a certain persuasion, the goods was there. So a record company, Zach says, love the video, and they want to see him perform tomorrow night, and that means the girls have to practice tonight. And Jesse is like, are you guys kidding? The geometry test is going to murder my Stanford chances is tomorrow. There's no way. I can't do it. But they double down on the peer pressure.
Yeah, they peer pressure the hell out of her.
They do. They just say, oh, please, we can't do it without you. It's such a great opportunity. And she's like, okay, fine, I'll take some more speed. yeah. Slater, for some reason, asked to borrow a pencil or a pen, and he has reason to go in her backpack. And he, oh my God, this is such a Jesus camp thing to do. But he confronts her on her caffeine pills.
Right.
She confronts her on her over the counter medication. I guess that's not crazy, right? Because like, you can get a lot of crazy shit from over the counter. Like, you can still get Robitussin, right? You can like still Robo tripping, still a thing, correct?
Yeah.
Banned that with Sudafed back in the 2000s.
You might have to go to Canada to get the good Robitussin these days.
Yeah, it's just all Robo, no Tussin.
Yeah, but there's a gas station down the street from me where you can get Kratom. I'm still not very sure about what Kratom is.
I
guess it's
this
no
is
joke.
So wild. I just walked into a random Shell to get gas. I was getting a Red Bull, and it's one of those you know, there's certain gas stations that are like half gas station, half head shop.
Yeah, right.
This is one of those that sells the Delta 8 THC stuff and all the like quasi, and they had this Kratom stuff too. What the fuck is Kratom?
It's some sort of plant-based something that you can get in a pill form, but I guess it's I've heard that it's really tough to get off of once you're hooked on it. But
is it?
They need to like make an after-school special for Zoomers about Kratom.
True. Honestly, they need to do some after-work specials for parents just to keep them like up to date on the latest drugs and the lingo and like.
Because like a very special episode of Shogun.
Toranaga, what are you doing with these Kratom tabs? I just need it for my wound pain. I don't know because like honestly if I went in Jack's room and there's like a bag that's like Kratom pills and I'd be like, and he told me it was like a diet supplement, I'd probably believe him. Oh yeah, it's a vitamin K supplement, it's got creatine in it, I'm trying to put on mass. I'm like, oh fuck it, I mean,
right.
it's got a barcode on it, how bad could it be, right? So Slater is as adamant that these are dangerous, Jesse. They're going to hurt you. And she's like, well, I need him to stay awake. And she grabs him and she storms off.
Right. Again, would love to see the original version where she's like, I need this crank to stay awake.
Right, right. And where would she get it? That's the other thing. I can't imagine Jesse going to a drug dealer in school. She's the type of kid that like the drug dealers in school would turn away. Like, nah, you're gonna narc. You're gonna get halfway through the joint and you're gonna feel guilty and you're gonna take it to your mom. And then she the next day is taking the geometry test, and she is a speed demon.
Yeah, she's zooted.
She is wired out of her gourd. She's aced the test. Slater kind of calls Zach over and expresses his concern about Jesse, that she's taking drugs. He calls it drugs. caffeine right. pills. And Zach is kind of angry because it's like, this is their friend Jesse. There's no fucking way she's taking drugs. You're overreacting. And Slater's kind of on his little island there.
Zach does this thing where he's like, she's my friend. Like, your friends can have problems.
Right. Like she's too smart for that. Dude, I think smart people are more at risk for drug abuse.
I'd be inclined to agree with you. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if just
a lot
being
of
smart,
anxiety.
If just being smart was enough to protect you from all the dangers in the world, then, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't know what that's like. But Zach storms off. He's not going to listen to any more of this Jesse slander. So there's another song and dance number, this time at the teen hangout. What is this fucking place called? I swear to God, I wrote it down at some point.
That'd be a good trivia question.
Oh, it's the Max. It's called the Max. What an awesome name for a teen hangout. And Jesse is super pumped. There's some bullshit that goes on with Screech that I don't get. Do you know what he's going on about on this scene? His fucking outfit. All these outfits are wild. They did not believe in tailoring in the 90s.
No, everything's either too much or too little clothes.
Yeah.
Never just the right amount of clothes. But no, I don't know. It's just normal Screech shenanigans.
Yeah, Zach's wearing like three person's outfits simultaneously. He's got enough fabric to make three Zach outfits out of what he's wearing. So yeah, Jesse is super pumped, and they do the whole, like, you know, on three, one, two, three, hot Sunday thing, group thing at the in a group there. I'm gonna say group one more time, and she's just like, visibly something's wrong. She's also passed out the fuck out on her bed later that night.
Right, she comes way down.
Zach comes in like full blown Michael J. Fox playing Chuck Berry music at the Enchantment Under the Sea, Back to the Futures mode. Like, look at this retro thing he's got.
It is so hard to just this suit he's wearing, which the jacket's way oversized. The
pushed up
looks,
sport jacket sleeves.
Yeah. Ty looks like someone vomited confetti all over the place. And then he's got multicolored, like, geometric, maybe because of the big geometry test, the shirt helps him study because it's got rectangles and triangles and trapezoids printed on in different colors.
And I actually stared at the shirt and I'm like, is that a vest? Are those suspenders? Like, why is there a pattern, but it doesn't, like, run down the... Like, if you're wearing a tux, I'd be where the pleats are at. They're like, there's a central tie area. They just, I guess, assume you're going to wear a tie. So, like, why would you put print there? But, yeah, he's wearing... And, again, I just feel like this was out of date even by the 90s. Surely not. This had to be what cool kids looked like. But, like, this pushed-up blazer look, that's, like, that's Don Johnson, early 80s. Like, that's surely not in fashion a decade later. But, again, I don't know. I haven't seen someone push up a suit jacket in a minute.
It could be coming back. This is what the Zoomers are wearing.
That's true. It is coming back, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's been seen yet. They haven't caught none of that. I've seen women do it. I've seen girls do, like, the pushed up jacket look. But
that's a good look.
Tulip saying the bullshit with Screech was that Screech has a big crush on... Oh, they tried to pair off with Lisa?
Yeah, she wasn't having it.
Well, yeah, like, if Zach's paired up with Amber, whatever, Kelly, and Slater's got Jesse, I guess, Screech, but that's just not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. I mean,
yeah,
look
it's
at
like
him.
Phoebe and Chandler, never going to happen.
Right. They might even consider it in a moment of loneliness, but then, like, the shudder and revulsion and all that is just not going to happen. So, she's confused. She doesn't know where she's at or where she's going or what she's singing because she's high on speed/caffeine pills and she's got to wash her hair and on. He's like, no, you don't got any time. And then she's like, oh, I'll let everybody down. She's just in this big spiral. And she's like, I know, I need more of these. And she pulls out the pills. And Zach now knows that you're really taking caffeine pills. I thought Slater was talking smack. But this is a real problem, and he says, you can't sing tonight. And this is the episode's signature moment, right? She tries to prove that he can by desperately cry singing, "I'm so excited," as he tries to hug her in this emotional breakdown. It's pretty great.
I'm so scared.
She's so scared. I'm so high on caffeine. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I haven't slept in 3 days. And he gives her a big hug and reminds her of the time as kids when they snuck out the CET. And this was a scare. They rode home alone. Again, this is just 80s kid shit, I guess. Parents letting you go out to movie and ride home in the dark. And they were scared, but they didn't die. This has nothing to do with taking drugs. Remember that time when we were 7 years old and rode our bikes in the dark and were so scared? It's just like this.
This is how you get someone off of caffeine pills, is you remind them of some anecdote from 10 years ago, and then you're cured.
Yeah.
It's even less effort than the walk to the phone and call AA that we saw from Tom Hanks.
Yeah, this might be the lamest. This is, well, I guess we'll get to that at the after credits, but this is in the running for lamest, very special topic and the most ludicrous resolution to that. We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break. And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? So the Max presents Hot Sunday and you're like, a wiggle wiggle, what? How are they going to go on without Jesse? Because she's recovering from her drug addiction. And they just lip sync the whole thing with Screech stepping in for Jesse. And that goes about as well as you'd think. Like, I mean, Screech is intentionally looks like a clown, right?
I mean, I don't think it's intentional.
Like,
as
even
far
in
the
90s, this kind of pattern clash was not acceptable. You can't have three separate colors and patterns.
He does literally look like a clown.
Yeah, he's got those like weightlifter pants, you know, the really loud patterned, like baggy, you know, kind of, these were like big for like Hulk Hogan types in the 80s and 90s. Slater tries to smooth things over the producers, but I don't think they say one way or another, but it probably doesn't work, right? You can't recover from Screech dropping a Screech bomb, right?
It's just so wild. They have the tape. They have the music video. Mm-hmm. Why can't they just show the music video?
Right. Well, they did, and they loved it, but they had to see it live, you know? This could have been a Milli Vanilli situation, you know? The nation's getting over the Milli Vanilli scandal. Can't have a lip syncer. They gotta prove it live.
Right.
So they probably didn't get a big record deal and become famous as sophomores, I'm guessing.
No, they didn't. It would all be forgotten by next week.
So, and that's the other thing that the Ringer article put out. This has no lasting impact on anybody because the nature of the show is, it's next week. So they're all around her bedside, and I'm sure it's only because they couldn't afford a hospital set. Because that's definitely the feeling of, like, she is just bedridden because, oh my God, the slight headaches I'm getting from weaning myself off caffeine and the sweats. Oh God, I'm going to survive. Slater brings her flowers. It's crazy. And she apologizes for taking the drugs, and the kids apologize to her for doing the peer pressure thing. And she also gives a special apology for Slater for being, you know, such a caffeine monster with him.
Right. Slater was right the whole time.
Yeah. This is the various specialist episode where, like, literally everyone apologizes. This is such a hallmark of the art form. Everyone apologizes to everyone. Like, you can't leave any one stone unturned. Because then Zach comes in and says, well, I got to apologize because I blew your concerns off. Turns out you're right. A friend was addicted to 100 milligram, 150 milligrams, extra strength caffeine pills. And she's being taken to the doctor for counseling. Can you imagine a doctor, a parent, an earnest parent bringing in? It's like, Doc, you got to do something. My teenager is addicted to caffeine.
You want me to, what do you want me to prescribe the caffeine pills? Because I'll
right,
do that.
Yeah. Do you want, it's like, what Mountain Dew? Do you want to do like half a caffeine pill to wean her off? Like, you know, it's not. Oh my God. There's no methadone for caffeine, man. I think you just kind of stop taking it and you get a little bit of a headache for a day or
two. A little sleepy. They should make that. Periodically, I will stop taking caffeine and I get a caffeine crash like within 24 hours. Big time headache. I'm miserable. Flu-like symptoms. They need a methadone for caffeine. You're right.
That happens to me on Saturdays a lot because when I eat breakfast, I don't ever drink soft drinks. I'll just drink water, ice water. And then Saturday, there's not usually a reason for me to go get a Coke and like sit down and start podcasting or whatever. So like a lot of times, like middle of the afternoon, Saturday is like, why is my fucking head split open? Like, oh, right. It's been 24 hours since I had caffeine. It's hell.
Yeah, it is. Kids, it sucks.
Kids don't start it. Not even once. Coke, Pepsi, gateway drugs. Let's call them what they are.
It's true. It would have been great if at the end of the episode, Jesse had just been like, I have a splitting headache. You guys need to leave.
Yeah, still trying to kick the caffeine. And Jesse also says that she's learning a valuable lesson, that she doesn't have to be the best at everything. That's not going to get you into Stanford, though.
Right.
Jesse, got to be the best at everything to get into Stanford. And Zach says, I learned that every single time I get a report card full of C's. And I'm not buying it because he got a B+ on that geometry test. I think he's sandbagging. He's one of those kids that pretends to be dumber than he is because he doesn't want to be picked on.
Oh, interesting take.
Yeah, yeah. So I got a couple other interesting factoids from this article, and I wasn't able to work them into the podcast. They said in an alternate TV universe, this is going to what you were bringing up in the beginning of the show, Elizabeth Berkley, Jesse, could have been pouring her heart out to Brian Austin Green. The future David Silver was cast as a lead student in Ingles' Saved by the Bell origin series, a treacly NBC sitcom pilot called Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
That's it.
That was the one.
That's what it was.
Former Disney child star Haley Mills is top billed in the title role, played by a put-upon junior high teacher in suburban... playing a put-upon junior high teacher in suburban Indiana. We almost got another hardcore Midwest... the big network TV show got robbed.
Yeah. And then they're wouldn't it be cheaper to pretend it was in California instead?
Is Saved by the Bell set in Cali? It has to be, right?
It has to be.
You're not
getting the Max in Indiana.
Palisades. Is that how you pronounce that? Palisades, California?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems pretty swank. A lot better than Mooresville, Indiana, anyway. So after this kind of show kind of crapped out, they brought in the rest of the new characters and they changed it to Saved by the Bell and All Was Right. But it's funny because like they're also talking about the change from speed to caffeine. They talked about the showrunner said his staff is skeptical of the last minute drug change. Quote, I remember that we were sort of like, well, is this still not a problem if it's caffeine pills? Because you can just buy those at Rite Aid. It says, but ultimately that wasn't the point. It didn't matter whether she became addicted to legal drugs because Jesse had a problem with something that was altering her behavior. Other than substituting words caffeine pills for speed, the shooting script remained intact. I mean, that's the problem, dude. Caffeine pills don't do this to people. Like... I can't imagine. I don't know what overdosing on caffeine does, but it's not like speed, right?
No, of course not.
Can you even overdose on caffeine? What's the LD50 on that?
I don't know. Probably enough that it would physically crush you.
Median lethal dose of caffeine is estimated between 150 to 200 milligrams per kilogram. Do you know how many fucking kilograms Oh, that's a lot of goddamn caffeine, man. Wow.
Yeah, but wasn't this happening recently at the Panera Bread with their electric lemonade?
This is true. This is true.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. How much fucking caffeine is in that lemonade? If you're doing 100 milligrams per kilogram? Jesus.
That's a lot of caffeine.
That's a lot of caffeine. It's a lot of caffeine, electric lemonade. But anyway, if you want to read more about the behind the scenes true life story of the filming of Jesse's song, including some other like trivia about Saved by the Bell and its progenitor, check out the Ringer article that I will put into the show notes. Other than that, do you have any other closing thoughts on Saved by the Bell? I guess we should say, where do we rank this in terms of seriousness of the very special incident, and also how would we rank it as advice to deal with that very special situation?
It's got to be the bottom of the list for both of those, right?
Yeah. Like, F across the board, because, again, it's caffeine pills. For second, like, this half-assed, I don't know, intervention. It's like a one-man intervention. You just there's a little bit of, like, grabbing, like, the part of the cure involved grabbing a young woman by her shoulders and shaking her a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Get it together.
Also part of the cure. I don't know. Doesn't seem like it's a serious issue. And this is probably not the way to get anyone to beat it. I guess, yeah, if your teen's addicted to something, take him to the doctor, get him some counseling. But I think...
What would have been the solution if she had been addicted to trucker speed? Like,
rehab.
More than just...
You gotta go to rehab. you gotta have a real solution to that, you know?
It's not just a gentle shove from Zach Morris in a conversation about E.T.
So yeah, that's it. Do you have any other closing thoughts?
No, it was a fun episode though. I mean, it's just the silliness. I think this is kind of what inspired this season of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? Just the audacity that some of these people had, that they thought they were going to be able to tackle these issues with 22 minutes in a script that was written for 13-year-old viewers.
I figured there had to be at least 20 executives making $1 million that stood between this episode and it getting to air. And I honestly kind of shocked that no one said, you can't do a very special episode about caffeine. Like, they're not going to give us credit for our equal, this isn't going to be an educational episode, because it's like, what caffeine, dangers of caffeine? What the heck?
Bayer's going to be up our ass.
Yeah. Big caffeine, man. It's coming after you. Juan Valdez is going to break your kneecaps when he finds out what you're talking about is coffee. Anyway, let's initiate the feedback section. Feeny@baldmove.com. But first, tell them where they can find you, Jay. What are you doing skulking about the internet on high on caffeine?
Yeah, I do get jacked up on caffeine. Hi, I'm Jay McCain. You can find me on Blue Jay Streams. That's blue_J_streams on Twitch. I'm there nightly. We have a good time. We watch TV shows, hang out. It's a chill hang, so that's kind of the headquarters for the stuff that I do. So check me out there.
Once again, feeny@baldmove.com is how you give us feedback. That's going to be it for this week's show. Until next time, which we will be talking about another very special episode of Full House Shape Up, where DJ battles a food, some kind of eating disorder.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's anorexia, bulimia, a combination of two, but it's
we'll find out. It's
a lot more dangerous than caffeine pills. Let's see how the Tanners handle it next week on Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? Until then, we'll see you later.
Yep. Kit, hit the very special ejector seats.
I'm freaking out on caffeine, Michael.
Yeah, you could get addicted
to Turbo Boost!